Hey guys, this is Andrew from Things I Want to Know. If you like the podcast, please leave a 5-star rating. Don't really know why this is important, but it is, so let's get the voice out. Also, don't forget to check out the podcast Paul G's Corner, a podcast where everyone gets a voice.
I need to know everything, who and the what and the where, I need everything. Trust me, I hear what you're saying, but act like it's new what you're telling me. I'm curious, George, I hop in the Porsche, a 5 and a horse, I'm ready for war, I'm coming for throws to turn to a ghost, I need to know everything.
Hi, this is Paul G. I wanted to take a moment at the beginning of this episode and bring to your attention something Andrea and I feel is extremely important. Neither Andrea nor I support or recommend on this podcast any political ideology. We both have conservative, liberal, and centrist friends that we value very much, and no matter what, we support the right of every human being to believe in and practice any religion, philosophy, or politics. The only thing we ask of you, our listeners, is that you keep an open mind to all possibilities, no matter how profoundly opposite to your own held beliefs they may be. The only way to learn is to let go of bias and preconceived notions. Because the world is full of dangers, and learning should not be one of them. A team of Marines, a freak on a leash, a beast with an appetite, razor for teeth, and still they will lay at my feet. Boy, you got the wrong one. I got to look over all of my publishing statements for Q1 as soon as the song's done. I got to call up my mama and tell her... Have you ever watched the news, your local news, and wanted to strangle the anchor? I do that every time I turn the TV on. That's why I can't watch it anymore. But did you know how much you're being manipulated? Do you know exactly what is happening behind the scenes? No one knows, but I know. And my guest today, she knows. She spent 10 years... on TV and even national TV. Wow. She's done more than me. Somebody that's done more than me for once, Andrea. Yeah, I know, right? You were also a referee. She was also a referee for 40 years? A referee in men's sports for 40 years. Men's and teenage sports. Anne Montgomery, how are you today?
I'm doing well, though. My lovely town of Phoenix, Arizona is soaking wet clouds. It looks like I'm where you are or in Minnesota or something. This is very strange. It never rains here. We usually go out and dance in it, but it's too cold.
It's cold?
Like 60. We're dying.
Oh, yeah. That's terrible. That's so terrible.
We had like -5 here the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, we feel for you.
60 is like a heat wave right now.
Literally, when it hits 70 here is usually when the sweatshirts come out. So I know most of my friends have said bad words to me lately about my complaints. But yeah.
My father used to say that in Florida. He used to call on Christmas Day and he's like, it's 70 degrees and I'm in a sweatshirt. I'm like, Dad, 70 degrees is t-shirt weather in Arkansas.
You know, I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up skiing at night. I mean, we were out in the cold all the time. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm over that.
Well, I do know you don't have that many trees there.
Yes, we do. We have all kinds of trees.
Really? I know.
Arizona is many. It's got many different areas. I live in the Sonoran Desert, which has magnificent foliage, beautiful trees and cactus. 2 hours from here, it's the mountains and pine forests.
Really?
We have all kinds of different areas here. It's a beautiful state if I could get rid of half the people that live here.
Isn't that where Breaking Bad was filmed?
I don't know. They say it was, but we used to have a deal with movies that we'd give them tax breaks if they came here, and then we canceled that, and the movie people stopped coming.
Go figure.
We just put it back in because they were filming in New Mexico and calling it Arizona, and there's a sneaky way to discover if they're really doing that.
Yeah.
We're the only ones with saguaro cactuses, those big giant ones. Oh. This is the only place they grow on the planet. So if they're saying they're in Arizona and there are no saguaro cactuses, they're lying.
Interesting. I did not know that.
The television show Longmire was supposed to be filmed in Wyoming, but that show was actually filmed in New Mexico.
Yes, one of my favorite shows, by the way. I truly enjoyed that. The only weird thing is when I saw him interviewed and he has an Australian accent, it just totally zooed me out. I'm like, no, he can't be Australian.
He is. He's Australian.
Know. Paul told me that. I'm like, no way.
Yeah. I love that show.
He was just too old for Vic. I just can't do it.
He had appeal. He did.
Well, yeah, but he started showing his age at the end.
Yeah. Don't we all? Yeah.
Well, it's Buck Rogers. You know, that's the lady who played Vic. She also played Buck Rogers. So she's a lot of sci-fi guys, dreams.
Yeah, well, I like her.
That's true.
It was a good show. It was a good show.
Yeah, they sit back and enjoy their loneliness all by themselves to Buck Rogers.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
No inference there. No, not at all.
It's a little too early in the podcast for Oh My God, Paul.
Yeah. Oh My God, Paul?
Yeah.
I try to make her say Oh My God, Paul at least once.
Yeah, we need to make it into a t-shirt.
Yeah. But you've got 10 years in broadcast television.
Yes, I worked I wanted to be a sportscaster in the 70s, which was absurd. There simply weren't any women sportscasters in the 70s.
And it was because of what they said, though, right? What you told me earlier before the show?
That I couldn't possibly do it. I was a woman.
Yeah.
There was no way. Even my own mother, she goes, so what do you want to do? I want to find a college. And I went, I'm going to be a sportscaster, Mom. And she said, I'm trying to have a serious conversation with you.
Oh,
what
my.
Is the matter? Yeah. Tell me true. What do you want to be? I said, I want to be a sportscaster. I really do. My college professor said that's never happening. I got out of college, moved to Washington, D.C., worked in the bar business. And no one would even give me an interview. I mean, it was so ludicrous that I thought I could be a sportscaster in the 70s.
Yeah.
But I did. And so then I sort of accidentally fell into ice hockey officiating. I was an ice skater growing up, not a very good one. I was an ice dancer. And I went out one night with my aunt and her friend who was an amateur hockey official. And he said, oh, we don't have enough officials. And my aunt said, Annie can skate. And so he said, would you like to be a referee? And I said, sure. And I was awful because I'd never been on hockey skates. Do you know the difference between a hockey skate?
Yes. Skates are very similar to the ones you get at the rental house.
Well, really? No, hockey skates don't have toe picks.
Yeah.
They're just rounded. So I grew up on ice skates.
But they're really, really thick. They're thick.
But there's no toe picks at the end. And lazy skaters like me use them to get up when you fall down. My first hockey game, I'd never, ever been on hockey skates. And I went out and fell down 3 times, taking my face off with 5-year-old hockey players. And those are the ones with their little jerseys down to their ankles and they're leaning on sawed-off sticks. And I'm looking up at these 5-year-olds, and I can't get up. Because I don't know. So the good news was after that fiasco was that I realized that I could convince some forward-thinking news director somewhere that I knew something if I officiated the 5 main team spectator sports, football, baseball, ice hockey, soccer, and basketball. And that if I knew the rules well enough that they should hire me to be a sportscaster because I was before Title IX. So no one would let me play football.
Right.
Today, I play hockey. I love hockey, and no one would let me play back then. So the idea was, I learned about the rules because who knows more about the games than anyone? The referees and the umpires. Yep. Well, so I did. I got hired in Columbus, Georgia, sight unseen, never done a newscast, really, certainly
nice.
Not live. And got in my car and drove from Washington, D.C. to Fort Benning, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Talk about armpit of the planet.
Wow.
I don't know. It's probably better than here because it's closer. Yeah,
and then I you move up. It's like minor league baseball in media. You move up from a 1A town to a 2A town to a 3A town. So I went from Columbus, Georgia to Rochester, New York, here to Phoenix, where I worked for the NBC affiliate, I think it was then. Then I went to ESPN, where I anchored SportsCenter. And then I came back to Phoenix, and I was the studio host for the NBA's Phoenix Suns.
I just got to thinking, you probably know Dina.
Do I?
Oh, I got to look her for last name up. Dina Day. Dina Dallas Day.
I don't know. The last time I was at ESPN 90 to 92, and then I'm already pushing 40, and at that point, they don't want you anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Dina came on after you.
Dina, you're not pretty enough on camera.
Dina was, she was the anchor in Phoenix for
I don't know
a few
that.
Years. But this was in the 2000s.
Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcasts, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.
Okay, well, I've lived here all that time, but honestly, with you, I watch local news, but it makes me kind of squirrely when I watch it.
Yeah.
But no, I do that. And then no one would hire me to be on camera anymore because I wasn't pretty enough. I went into print reporting. So I've also worked for 3 newspapers and 3 magazines.
The dying beast.
They don't care what guys look like, do they?
They don't. No, they don't. And it's, you know, I ran into it too. People don't believe this, but it goes both ways. You know, I ran into it too. I had a person, and I really can't say too much because I don't want to get in trouble. My non-disclosure agreement has long since gone away from 4029 KHBS, KHOG in Rogers, Arkansas. But I was the chief editor for those guys. And I ran into a problem where one of the people who had power in the station told me I couldn't possibly know what it's like to be a woman or what it's like to do this or whatever it was, because I'm not a woman. And that's the same argument that they gave you.
Of course. They said, you can't do this because you are a woman. And honestly, it got very frustrating because I was not treated the same. I was put in very difficult situations. ESPN was not the least bit fun.
Especially back then.
Oh, well, you know, quite honestly, they would do things. Are you a baseball fan at all?
I like watching baseball in person.
Okay, so do I. I agree. Baseball should be in person. But there's a rule. I'm live on the set one night. Usually, if you're lucky, you get to see your highlights before you go on. But sometimes the games end late. So some production assistant who's like an intern just out of college.
Make a minimum wage.
Yeah. And they will write out some highlights and throw them at you while you're just about to go on the air.
Right.
So some kid did that to me. And the first highlight, we're at Wrigley Field. And he said, oh, and a fan gets hit by a foul tip in the front row. And this guy's got blood on his head and everything. Well, that's not possible. You cannot get hit with a foul tip. A foul tip is a ball that goes from the bat to the catcher's glove. It's a strike.
Yeah.
But it's a live ball.
That's right.
So if
that's
you're
right.
Stealing, you're free to do that.
Yeah.
So a foul ball is the one that goes out of play, dead ball, everybody goes back to where they
were.
He
just thought it tipped off.
But still, it's two different things. And I'm an umpire, but I don't have time to fix it on the air. So after the show, there's what's called a postmortem.
Yeah.
And the postmortem is where everybody goes, what did we do well? What did we do poorly? What can we do better?
I
said, oh, Bob, to this kid. And, you know, I'm not new to the business. I've been doing that for years. And I said, look, I want to explain the difference between a foul ball and a foul tip. And I did. And there are 12 guys and me at the table, conference table, and there's silence. I said, it's different. I said, you need to make sure you understand the difference between a foul ball, foul tip. That kid looked at me and said, you're being nothing but a picky bitch.
Ouch.
Wow.
And I went, no, I'm an umpire and I know the difference. And ESPN should care that we get this right.
Especially ESPN.
Right. Yes. So the next morning, not one guy in the room defended me. When I went into work, my boss called me into his office.
You got in trouble for it. Yeah.
He told me to apologize to Bob because I hurt his feelings. And I said, you know, I just wanted us to get it right. I didn't raise my voice. I wasn't angry. I just said, I'm an umpire. Some people watching know I'm an umpire, and I should know the difference in the rules. And I had to apologize to that kid.
That doesn't – see, I didn't think that anybody cared about anybody's feelings back then.
I didn't care. Honestly, I had – there was a guy there named Howie. And Howie was – this was before anybody could just bop on the internet and find sports facts.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to know something, all you had to do was go, hey, Howie, come here. And you'd say, when was the last time the Jets won by more than 3 points in the snow in November?
Wow.
And he would go, well, that would have been 1972. And he would tell you. So I called him over one night, needed some information, wrote it down, did the show, dragged into my boss's office the next morning saying, why did you go with that information? It was wrong. I said, oh my gosh, Howie gave it to me. I look over, Howie's standing in the doorway. He goes, I never told you anything.
Oh my gosh.
I hate that. That happens a lot, actually. That's just the ego problem there is all that is.
All I know is when I left, I did not miss it for a moment.
So since you've been gone, though, and now you're doing your own thing, are you still refereeing?
I retired. I did my last football game, high school football game, in 2019. Because you remember when they used to tell us sports were good for us? They lied. They lied. Every part of me has been broken, x-rayed, MRI, operated on. Well, I look like an old NFL player.
Well, all I can say is that the plus about it is all the x-rays, at least now you can see where you're going when the lights are out.
No, and here's the other thing.
It's going.
If I'm ever abducted and dismembered, they will be able to identify me from any piece they found because they've all been x-rayed.
And they've all got serial numbers on it if you got any replacements.
Yeah, I have a titanium plate in my leg with 16 screws.
Ouch.
11 screws. Ooh. 11 screws. And that was, yeah, it's got a little number on it.
That was hockey, wasn't it?
No. Actually, I'm embarrassed to tell you.
Oh, no.
I can't blame that on sports. I got COVID.
Oh.
Hallucinated, passed out, and woke up with a shattered leg.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh.
I wish I could look at the replay. I have no idea. Yeah. I woke up on the floor.
You were officiating a game in your living room.
I was really ill. And I ended up 3 weeks. No one would operate on me because I had COVID. I couldn't clear the COVID thing. And then they operated, and it took me almost 9 months to learn to walk again.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, I can't blame that one in sports. All the other ones I can. So it's interesting. At the end, I was just doing football. I had quit baseball maybe 6 years earlier because I never want to be hit with another baseball. Do you ever go to games and people are reaching for those line drives? I am under the chair. Okay, I've been hit with hundreds of baseballs. I'd rather be hit by a football player than a baseball.
Yeah, baseball. God. Especially, I mean, those guys, first off, it's kinetic energy. And so the baseball player, if he's any good at all, and he's almost an adult or in college or in professional, those balls are going 90 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
87 to 110. And you get, then the batter hits it, and all that energy now gets redirected. That 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Plus whatever energy the batter's putting on it. So that ball, if it's a line drive to the right, it's probably going 130, 140.
I have stopped line drives in the infield with my body.
Oh.
I have been hit. And honestly, that's my nightmare is that I couldn't get out of the way fast enough. And people go, oh, you'll get out of the way. I'm like, no.
Not if it's going 110 miles an hour.
I took one in the knee and one in the thigh.
Wow.
So I've had people walk up to me and go, I'd be limping or something. They go, oh, honey, you don't have to live like this. I'm like, what do you mean? We'll get the bastard who did this to you. I'm like, no, it's baseball. I'm an umpire. You don't have to lie. We'll get the bastard.
Oh, my gosh.
There are seams on my flesh. You can see the seams where the ball hit me. Trust me. Yes, I did retire. I miss football a lot. I truly enjoyed it. I don't know if you're a football fan, but this is a test question.
Uh-oh.
How many referees are on a football field?
I should know this considering I love football, but I've never really paid attention to the refs other than yelling at them.
It's actually a trick question because the number is the same whether you're doing Pop Warner or the NFL.
Really?
Yes.
You got one, two, three, four.
Is it four?
Four?
One.
One?
It's the one with the white hat. The one that says I have hold.
That's right.
Oh, duh.
Remain second down. I was the my last.
The other guys are called something else.
Officials.
Yeah.
Umpires
and side judges and back judges.
Well, that podcast is over. I don't like being tricked.
Yeah. Win beer on that. That's a great beer winning question.
Okay.
Good, good, good.
For years, I would be on other men, other referees' crews. And every year they'd say, well, we don't want you on our crew anymore because we're never going to get the 5A state championship with you because you're a girl.
Oh, okay, my God.
I hate that.
So I decided that I would become a referee. I would have my own crew. And anybody who walked up to me that was interested in being on my crew would understand that I'm in charge. It's my crew. And we're never getting the state championship, but we will work hard. We'll have a good time. And they will learn because I'm a damn good official.
Yeah.
And I am. And honestly, after I became a referee and got my own crew, it was much better because they chose to be with me.
Right.
With me.
They didn't, you didn't have to put up with crap.
So how do you?
So my last 24 seasons, I was a referee and crew chief, which meant I'm in charge, guys. Get over it.
So how do you think it's improved now since things have gotten progressive? We've had the Me Too movement and things like that. Do you think that it's going to be easier for women to become referees and things like that in sports?
Clearly there are more officials at higher levels that are female now.
I've seen a couple.
It's there. I think there are three or four in the NFL, but the bottom line is this is all PR. Women could have been doing this 20 years ago easily, but the NFL in all its wisdom understands that most of the people who buy their paraphernalia, you know, their jerseys and socks and hats are women. They buy them for their kids. They buy them for their spouses. So they're desperately trying to make women feel like they fit in with football. That's why they're now sponsoring, tackle football, touch football, because they want women to play.
I only want to play touch football with Andrea.
Hey. Now, I wanted to play football.
Well, I would today too, but now
with Andrea? No, you can't do that.
No, when I was in high school, I wanted to play football, and my father was adamantly
you should have played.
Would not do it.
I would have been like at the same age. I would have been like play.
And
that'd
it's
be
not,
awesome.
It's not because of me being a female and I couldn't do it. I love football, but it was he always thinks if you can't be protected because you'll be the only female. Where are you going to change at? Where are you going to shower?
That isn't even, you know, they say that to me. I would have to write a letter every week to the school saying, I'm your referee and crew chief. We'll all be there. And they freak out that I needed a separate dressing facility. But you don't. There's always a bathroom. You get dressed, go, hey, guys, anybody naked? No. And you come back out. It's not, they overreact to everything.
I think this was like 95, 96 in Arkansas.
Yeah, Bible belt.
My father just was not wanting to do that. But I love football. I've always wanted to play football. I don't know, almost 45. I don't know if I could play it as well as I was when I was younger. But
I totally would have been like, hey, yeah, you want to go out?
They have women's football leagues now.
That's cool. Because, I mean, boys would play with me in our neighborhood because I was a girl.
Of course not.
She's like, stop it.
My last game in 2019. I didn't even realize it, but there were two girls playing on the visiting team.
Cool.
One 6'4".
Oh, wow.
She was a lineman. The other one was a running back.
She was played a lineman?
The 6'4" one. She was huge.
How in the hell, no offense, but you know, I mean, men's upper body strength is always going to be more and you can't get around it. That's just a fact.
At that age, you can. You're right. You're right. Men are stronger, but this school had these two girls and I refereed the entire game and didn't know till
what grade was it?
This is varsity high school football.
Wow. She was a big, she's lifting weights and kicking ass and taking names. Jeez.
Well, but the running back, the little running back surprised me too. She didn't just come in for one play. She played the whole game. So at the end of the game,
was she really quick?
Yeah. And I didn't even know. Cause you know, their hair was tucked up.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, someone told me there were two young ladies there. And it was my last game and there was a professional photographer there. And I said, I would like to meet them.
Yeah.
And I have my picture with them from my last game. And the one little running back said, ma'am, do you know why we play football? And I said, no. And she said, so that other girls know they can play too. And I cried on the football field.
That's awesome.
I was like, yes, they're playing so other girls know they can.
Wow. I mean, it takes a hell of a girl to be able to keep up with them varsity boys.
I know. Well, I think
some of the guys are, I mean, I've been on fields where a lot of the linemen were 300 pounds.
Yeah.
That's why my dad didn't want me to play. He's like, the one big guy's going to knock you over and it's over.
It would have been fine.
But I mean, well, you know, this was the early 90s, you know, I mean, mid 90s, things have changed, but, I don't know.
I mean, it's tough to, though, you know, you get down in Texas football. It's a little different though. I don't know. Do you think they could play in Texas football?
I'm thinking they're girls that play everywhere. Mostly though, they might be in freshman ball.
I encourage them to. I really think it's cool. I'm just thinking to myself, wow, the Texas football, they take that seriously.
It's like a religion
here as well. It is serious. It's not, maybe not as big as in Texas because we have so many other options out here. But I think today you cannot tell a girl she can't play. It is illegal under Title IX. So if you don't have a women's football team, you have to let the girls try out. That's the way it is.
If you get your ass handed to you, that's your problem because this is football.
Trust me, I've had my ass handed to me more than once.
And guys get their ass handed to them all the time. We just don't notice it because they're guys and that's the game.
When I was first working, well, back before I was a referee, I was a field judge, line judge. I was on a field in Rochester, New York, and three guys hit me and I broke my back.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I could easily today be in a wheelchair from it.
But you have the fortitude of mind to not let that happen to you.
I'm just stubborn.
Yeah. No, that's, well, that's
I am too. That's why I wanted to play.
You wouldn't be playing sports if you didn't have that mindset. I mean, it's a mindset to play sports and get it done.
It is. And I learned that when I was young, when I was growing up, I was an ice skater and I was an ice dancer, which, as again, I'm way too big to be an ice dancer. I wasn't very good, but I did have to skate in front of judges and to, you know, you earn medals from the United States Figure Skating Association. And it was hard. I mean, they post your name on the wall and go, you failed. You know, they didn't feel sorry for it. They didn't go, oh, let's, yo, we don't want to hurt her feelings.
That's a pretty rough sport, too. That's a pretty rough sport. I mean, Nancy Kerrigan. I mean, my God. Give me a break, people.
And it's exhausting, and people think those aren't real athletes.
Easy.
You should see them sweating.
All right, no, gymnastics, girls' gymnastics, you try to let a guy do what the girls' gymnastics do, and the guys can't half the time, they can't do it.
Well, the problem with gymnastics and skating is that once people grow up, once girls grow into their adult bodies, they can't do the gymnastic moves anymore. They can't do the skating moves anymore. That's why we see 14 and 15-year-olds in the Olympics, which I can't bear.
Think that's a little young myself.
That's a lot of pressure.
I don't think anyone should be able to compete internationally until they're 18. I really don't. I think it's child slavery.
It could be.
I lived in a world where I saw how kids were treated.
But there's that rare, I would say probably 30% of them want to be there. So
some do, but they have no lives. And I wanted to be that skater, but my parents very wisely said, this isn't your life. Exercise is good, skate, but do other things. So while my friends who were real skaters skated 365 days a year, barely went to school, had tutors, had ballet, had all this stuff, I got to go to camp. I got to take music lessons. I got to be in plays. I got to be a Girl Scout. I got to be all these other things that they never did. So I am grateful my parents had more sense than that.
I just hung out at the house and drank the liquor I stole from my father.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, I did that, too. Oh,
yeah. Fair enough.
I know my daughter was in, I guess you could say, peewee gymnastics. Mm-hmm. And she tried out and she got to make the team and we got the schedule for the competitive gymnastics here in Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, you have no life.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, Emily, you're going to live here. Yeah. And she's just like, what do you mean? I said, you get out of school and I have to work, a single parent. So I couldn't get her there. And then if I did get her there, we would be up at the gym until at least, I don't know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, Emily, you're not even in junior high yet.
Then she discovered boys.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually what happens. But it happens also with boys who's, you know, you got the dad who thinks he's going to make an NFL quarterback out of a 6-year-old.
No.
By the time they get to high school, they don't want to do it anymore because they're burned out from it. I think we organize way too many things for children and don't just let them play anymore.
One of the biggest things, one of the biggest things that I had a problem with growing up, because I was a really, I went to Razorback football camp, as quarterback stuff and all this other goodness. I was actually quite, you can't tell me, can't tell now because Domino's Pizza has taken its toll, but you could tell then, I knew what I was doing and I was quite good at what I was doing. I was running like a, I was faster than the guys that were on the field at the college level at the time, because I was still in high school in the 40. But I couldn't stand the attitude of the people I had to be around if I wanted to play football.
I don't understand the answer, what you're saying, because some of them are lovely people and some of them are jerks, just like any other, any office in the world.
Unfortunately, so where I grew up, none of them were lovely people. I was trying to navigate this. So that turned me off from sports completely 100% because these guys, I just like, I couldn't put up with it. And they were misogynistic. They were mean. They made fun of anyone who had any kind of disability. I was a rather big kid, and they would throw this one kid, Jeremy, in the trash can, lock him in his locker, and it was the football guys that were doing this. I hated it. We were the quintessential stuff. You see it on TV. That's the way our high school was.
That's on your coach. That is on your coach.
Yeah.
So that should never happen. And that's bad coaching. A coach should make it very clear that that kind of crap is not permitted.
We had a good coach. Gerald Williams was our good coach, but
if he knew this was happening, he's not a good coach.
Yeah.
If it's your star quarterback or whoever, they should not be playing if they do that kind of crap.
So, and I would go and defend the little kid or the geek that they're making fun of. And they were like, we're going to kick your ass, Newton. Because they always called, football players, we always call each other by our last names. And I said, go ahead, see where it gets you. You want to play football? Kick my ass. And they would leave. And I'd save the kids they were bothering. And they just left such a bad taste in my mouth. It still to this day resonates with me. And it's hard for me to do sports.
So this is totally off topic, but I wanted to ask you a question. What else have you done besides sports? I remember before we got on, you mentioned a lot of journalism stuff.
I apologize.
I've been itching to ask this question. So
when I got out of broadcasting, I went into private video production, which means people paid me to create video.
Nice.
Or things, because I'm good at that. Then I went into print reporting, which I mentioned. But that wasn't full time, even though I was on staffs. And I was really, quite honestly, I think I was depressed because I've been on national TV and now no one will hire me in the country. I couldn't get a job in a bar. I said, look, I can entertain your clients even when they're sober. I can talk sports with them. And because I was 40 and didn't look like they wanted the bartender to look, I couldn't get a job anywhere. So someone finally convinced me to be a teacher. I'm like, I had no desire to go into teaching, but they said, you've spent your life around high school kids. And I had, and there happened to be a magnet program here where they had a TV station, radio station, and a newspaper, and they hired me to teach journalism.
Oh, wow.
But it was a Title I school. So I taught in a very poor neighborhood. My students were primarily Black and Hispanic.
What community was this in?
South Phoenix.
Okay.
Here in Arizona. And I ended up teaching there for 20 years. I did do a short stint at the Arizona, at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism, teaching sports reporting. However, one of my students pointed out at the end that the Cronkite School should hire someone younger to teach reporting next time. I'm like, you little shit. really? I said, I hope when you get to be older, you'll realize how cruel that was.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is I did go into teaching. It ended up being a huge part of my life. And the irony was I couldn't have any children. And then I ended up taking in a kid who ended up in foster care, who's one of my children, one of my students. I ended up pretty much with 5 kids over the years. Some of them still call me mom. They're all in their 20s now.
Nice.
And so I ended up becoming a mom. And that was a fascinating journey to take in teenagers.
So, and then now you're writing books, right?
Yes. My contract wasn't renewed at ESPN. I wrote a book because I didn't know what to do with my time.
Right.
And let's face it, I started telling stories on TV because when you're doing the new sports casting, you're telling a whole bunch of short stories. When I went into print reporting, I was just telling longer stories. And then I figured moving into writing novels, it's just a longer story. So, yeah, as I said, I've written 9. Two are in a drawer. They'll never come out. 5 are published. They're all fiction. I don't write about sports. I am a news junkie. So I listen to the news. I watch the news. I read an old-fashioned newspaper every day. Yeah. And I take stories out of the news that interest me and then write fiction around them.
Oh.
So I have written about religious cults, PTSD, domestic terrorism, the destruction of an Amtrak train here by domestic terrorists.
So are you a fan of Clancy?
I'm watching Jack Ryan. Ryan.
Reacher's that other guy.
Yeah, he's the other one. I'm all right with that.
Well, have you read the books, though?
Years ago.
Because domestic terrorism, they have the Clear and Present Danger, which obviously is a movie. The one I like is the Sum of All Fears.
I haven't read that one, but he
totally got in trouble for that one.
Yeah, the domestic terrorism I wrote about was there was an Amtrak train here going from L.A., Phoenix to L.A., and it was intentionally derailed in the Arizona desert.
Wow. I never heard of it.
Yeah, the wreck of the Sunset Limited in 1995, and it has remained a cold case. They have never solved it. 100 people on it went off a trestle. It was a mess. And so I in my brain, I'm an investigative reporter sometimes.
Yeah.
So I go out, I interview people, and then I write stories. I just wrote one. Well, I wrote one called Wild Horses on the Salt. That's about our wild horse problem out here. We have way too many wild horses.
Yeah.
Some people feed them and act like they're domestic animals. Some people say they're an invasive species. People are shooting them. They're getting hit by cars. So I take a situation like that, and then I added a woman who was a battered woman, was abused by her husband who ran away. I do that. I wrote one about a rapist, a serial rapist in a national park.
Oh, wow. That's actually a thing.
Oh, well, no. In this case, it really isn't, but my first 5 were based here in Arizona. Yeah. Arizona is a magnificently beautiful state with fantastic locations. So many of them have taken place here. But I have one, too, about World War One, a true story.
Nice.
About a man who was a friend of mine handed me this packet of yellowed letters, 75 years old, these letters, the night before she had surgery. And she might have been paralyzed by the surgery. And she said, I want you to promise me no matter what happens, you'll write a book about my uncle. And her uncle was killed mysteriously at the end of World War II. And he was in a graves registration unit. And do you know what they did?
Hmm. No.
Those are the guys who recover, identify, and bury the dead.
Oh.
They create all those cemeteries. If you travel in other countries, you might see an American cemetery. And those were created by those men. And this man was in one of those units, and it was barbaric. So that's a World War II novel about who he was, and I used his letters to try to find out what happened to him.
Where can we find these books?
You can buy them anywhere you buy books, pretty much.
Okay.
But I have a website, which is annmontgomerywriter.com, and that's Ann with an E. So it's annmontgomerywriter.com.
A-N-N-E. Montgomerywriter.com.
Yes. And all my books are there, but you can just go to Amazon or at Borders Books, wherever
you buy books. You make more money if they buy them straight from you, though.
No, I don't. I am so lucky. I have a teacher pension and Social Security. I wouldn't be eating. When people go, what advice do you have for young authors? Don't quit your day job ever. Right.
Yeah. I've got a few novellas and I've been published quite a few times and I can't get any money off of my stuff. I can't even get Andrea to read it.
I've read your stuff. Hush.
Not the big novella.
No, I could barely find time to
scratch your butt.
Take a shower by myself.
Don't feel badly. My partner of almost 30 years, he won't read my books either. So what's he going to say? I hated it.
Yeah, you can't say no. You can't say that.
Right. That was great, honey. Can we move on and watch the football game?
So I got a question. Yes. I'm told, that you're very talented in figuring out fake news. Now, the reason why I say that is because, I'm a person who's college educated. I have a master's and I fact check stuff. But if it wasn't for Paul pointing out some things to me about some stuff in the news, I would never know that it was fake. So, and I'm trying to teach that to my children of not everything you see on the internet is correct.
And sometimes that stuff disappears.
It disappears.
It's so weird. So whether you like Trump or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about his politics. We don't give two shits about Trump's or Biden's or Hillary's or anybody's politics. What we're talking about is news. And sometimes, this is for the people listening, sometimes the news lies to you.
Well,
I know this firsthand because I was a chief editor at a news station, a TV news station. And I know what the hell was going on. I saw it happen, and I corrected everything that I could get my hands on.
Well, you telling me about, like, the kids tease about, you know, Trump being orange, and he's on memes, and he's on stickers, and he's on T-shirts.
Trump was never orange.
You know, the kids tease him about, you know, spray tan. I have teenagers, so they tease everybody. But when you pointed out that it came across that way,
yeah,
and other things that you pointed out throughout the years, so, sort of news things, it made me think, well, my gosh. I don't even want to watch the news now. I don't even want to look at the internet news because I'm like, what's true and what's not? And how can a lay person like me be able to figure that out?
It's really pretty simple. And let me say one thing. I came up in journalism in the world where you never, ever wrote something that you didn't have three eyewitnesses that could say it was true. And you never went on the air just to be first. You went on the air to be right.
Wow.
So it changed. Now, how did it change? It changed when the news, and I'll start this with the local news, decided they were going to be friendly and folksy. That drove me crazy. One day, my boss here in Phoenix pulled me in and he said, you need to spend more time talking to the other people on the set. I said, why? I would rather take that 20 seconds and put another story in my broadcast.
Yeah.
And he said, well, they'll think you won't like your fellow anchors. I said, who cares?
Yeah.
So if you watch the news now, all they do is talk to each other, and I don't care about what they have to say.
Especially in the morning shows, it's required to do that in the morning shows now.
It gets annoying.
They laugh and talk about what they had for breakfast. I don't really care.
Your shoes stink, Bill. You know? I went outside and walked in dog poop that I was walking my dog because I had to bring him in the studio this morning. Here's my dog. Yeah.
Nobody cares about that.
So here is the problem.
They love watching the little puppies, though.
Here is the problem, though. We have taken the news and we've slammed it into entertainment.
Yes.
And trying to make it one show. And that's not the way it should be.
Well, that's what happens.
The news over here and all the entertainment, talk shows, interviewing actors, all that crap belongs on a separate show.
Yes.
It needs to be labeled as a separate show. It's not the news. So in answer to your question about identifying what's true and what's not on the internet, teach your kids a couple of things. First, is there someone who takes credit for writing it? Is there a byline?
Yes.
Because me, I want my name in big fat letters on everything I write because I'm proud of what I write.
Right.
And if it comes across and there's nobody that claims responsibility for it, then it's probably not true.
It's generally bullshit at that point. I mean, nobody's got a lie.
That makes sense because
that's number one. The other one is, what is the source of it? What publication or media outlet put it out there? And I know at this point which media outlets are full of crap. Okay, the bottom line
is they all are.
No, they're not.
Are they not?
No, because there are different ways. I mean, if you go and you look at the source, you can very easily search the source. What is this source and what is their bias? It is very clear.
Yes. Okay?
The other thing is, how do they determine the bias? And very often it's not the things you think. It's not that they're just saying things that aren't true or are true. It's that the way they choose to present that information, like Trump with orange hair. Someone along the line probably went, oh, that's kind of denigrating, makes him look like a goofball, right?
Yep.
Or his sprayed on tans. He looks pretty much like he has one because he's got the white thing, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. The point is, are they choosing to present the news just in a biased way? And there may be a headline that says 10 million people are crossing the border today, but that's not true at all.
Right.
The title itself is not really true. And if you read the whole story, especially if it's a written story, and go all the way to the bottom, they'll say something at the bottom that proves that title is not true.
Right.
That drives me crazy.
Yeah. And the they do.
What types of stories do they cover? Do they choose to cover only the issues of the negativity of the people crossing the borders? If they just do that, they're probably also biased.
Well, it's like the big one is, and people probably won't remember this, is where they claimed that the border crossing agent was sitting on a horse using a whip to whip the people. That was completely false.
Right. And that is on the media, because that guy was using that on his horse to try to get it to go where he wanted it to. If you've ever been on a horse, it's not a strange thing.
And it's like the kid on the National Mall, too. The big one that CNN got a $50 million judgment against them.
The boy and the Native American gentleman.
Yeah, the Native American is the guy who did it.
Because a lot of people would rather be first than right.
Yeah.
And that is totally against journalistic principles. I went to school to be a journalist, completely 100% against that. So what we need to do, first of all, as consumers of the news, we need to want to know what's true. We don't just want to watch things that we agree with. For example, right. I am not a fan of Fox News, but I try to watch it sometimes if there's a big story going on so I can see how they cover it against CNN, against NBC, against whoever, because I want to know the truth, unbiased.
I can't watch any of them because it's always crap from every one of them.
Because again, we've combined news with entertainment.
Yeah.
We need to divide the two.
Brett Baer was about
they're not interested in real news. They're interested. When I was in television, there would always be one, what we called a dog and pony piece.
Yeah.
You know, and that's at the very end. It's a fluff piece.
Right.
It's a quarrel on water skis, right?
Yeah.
That little snippet of 20 seconds of video was always saved at the very end of the show.
That's right.
In case you needed filler. Now, every single segment of the news has some puppy found in a drain pipe, rescued by the fireman. That should not be at the top of the news. Put that at the end if you're going to use it at all. But these people want good news. And honestly, I don't think people are smart enough anymore to really understand what's going on.
I think they're I think they're smart enough, but they've given up trying.
It frustrates the hell out of me as a journalism teacher and a former journalist. I would be horrified if I put something that was not true on the internet or anywhere.
The two people I wish I could ban from TV is Sean Hannity and the lady from MSNBC, Rachel Maddow. Both of those people need to go away. Rachel Maddow came out and she said,
let me tell you, I love Rachel Maddow for one big reason. No matter, having been the woman that they permed my hair, did all these crazy things, my makeup. Every time you went to a station, there's a consultant who says, I hate your hair, I hate your jewelry, I hate your clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they fix you all up. Rachel Maddow never let them do that.
But she's just as bad as Hannity. Because she came out and said that, I mean, I can't stand Hannity. He's a crybaby. He's always upset about something. And it's like, whatever.
Why do you think he's like that?
Because people watch it.
No, because they tell him to do that and they pay him $10 million or I don't know. Millions of dollars a year.
60 or 70 million. Yeah.
And to be that guy. Same with Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
They say, we are paying you to be this thing that you are.
I don't have to pan Hannity to most of the crowd that listens. But Rachel Maddow, she came out and said, we have Trump's tax returns. And she didn't. She didn't have squat. No, this is a couple of years ago. They didn't have squat.
Because he kept suing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what she was doing. She was just out there trying to drum up people to come listen to her
BS. She's going to do that. These are not journalists.
No. So, okay, question.
They're not journalists. They aren't. They're entertainers.
Exactly.
There's a difference. And if you're a news person, and you know, my first TV job, I made $12,000 a year. I made more as a waitress working 20 hours a week in Washington, D.C. I made nothing.
Somebody
come to me before I was, you know, I don't know if I would have done it, but they said, we're going to pay you $10 million a year to give your opinion, and we want you to stick to these stories. And they're going to pay me to do that? What journalist is going to say, I couldn't?
Write the check. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's cash the first check, and then I'll do
Let's separate those shows into entertainment.
Yeah.
Or in the old days, they would put the word commentary under your name, because you never, ever use the word I as a journalist. It's not about you ever.
Correct.
It's not about your opinion. When I was teaching journalism, I told kids, look, you may have to go do a story on abortion and maybe that abhors you, but you can't pick a side.
Right.
That's not your job. Your job is to present both sides of the story equally, which means you have as many pro-abortion people interviewed as you do anti-abortion people. You got three on this side. You better have three on this side.
Get a balance. Present
the facts equally and let the reader or viewer decide. Well, we don't do that anymore.
Initially, CNN did that. And then they went off on their trek. So Fox News came in and did that initially. Neither one of them do it anymore.
Fox started it because there's so much money in it. But I have noticed lately that both CNN and Fox, the regular news programs, I'm not talking about their commentators.
The Brett Baer guy. Yeah.
Are getting better about covering things fairly.
I like Brett Baer. I think he's called some people to the carpet over the years. He actually wants to be a journalist. Now, he's probably got pressure from whoever's up in power to telling him, you got to be more controversial. So he's trying.
No, the news people are not. I think the heads of Fox News and the heads of CNN have said, no, we need to return to some basic journalism, but not those entertainment shows. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah. They should literally. That's why I tell people, if you watch the news on CNN or if you watch Fox News, there's like one program at like 5 o'clock. Or 4 o'clock Eastern, or 6 o'clock Eastern, or 5 o'clock Central. There's one program for 30 minutes. You're going to get the news, and everything else just ignore.
Right, because that's the entertainment aspect. That's the commentary, and those things. When in the old days, when you watched the evening news, if there was a commentary, they were very clear that this was an opinion piece.
Yeah.
Other than that, reporters should never have opinions.
It's interesting because this time in the last century, in 2020, maybe 1920, yellow journalism was very much a thing. And we seem to have returned to yellow journalism.
We have. And in the old days, though, they contended that people understood these things weren't real, that it was just entertainment. But you're right.
Spanish-American War.
British journalism is ridiculous. They've got a lot of yellow journalism sites still. So you're right. We have now promoted that as real news, and that's sad.
Do we go to that basically like for anything else just to get more ratings and more money just to be – because entertainment's where it's at. Americans would rather be entertained than told the truth.
You are absolutely correct.
That is so
Americans,
sad.
I don't think, really care about the intricacies of news stories. They really don't. They want to be entertained. And many people are entertained by hearing things they already believe are true.
Yes.
So you just double down and keep telling them crap's true and they're happy. Where again, I read different sites. I watch different sites because I want to make sure that I'm getting a full picture. You need to be an intelligent consumer of the news. But let's face it, most people don't watch the news at all. They're too busy playing video games. Okay, they're too busy doing things that aren't important. The average American, I'm sure you've heard some of the interviews, man in the street interviews.
Yeah.
Asking people, and they know nothing.
Oh, yes.
One of my kids came home. She's 26, 24, something like that. Anyway, she told me that one of her college, someone she knew in college, said to her, I don't understand why it's so cold in Alaska. And she's going, what do you mean? She said, well, look at the map. It's down by Mexico.
Oh, my God.
I seriously thought, please, please, please tell me that is not, people really are not saying that. Because I'm like, come on.
She's absolutely, I mean, look, I cannot tell you the things that people say. it seems to me people, we are so, like, look at this shiny object over here. Don't look at the important things.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. I mean, kids growing up looking at video games, they have no social skills. I'm appalled at the things my kids tell me about dating today.
It's that bad. It's the 40-year-olds do the same thing.
I don't know. I'm not even gonna say some of the stuff.
I got divorced. No, we can talk about anything. It doesn't matter. I got divorced and I dated 51 women. I went on 51 first dates. And that's 10, 12 of those people got a second date at most. They're crazy. People, Andrea is the only woman that I dated. And yes, just for if you didn't know, we have never actually admitted it on air. Andrea and I are dating. So she's doing this because she thinks it's fun and I talked her into it. But anyway.
I think I talked you into it. But yeah,
well, that's okay. She's the only one that doesn't smoke marijuana constantly. She doesn't smoke marijuana at all, and neither do I. And 51 women, she's the only one that didn't smoke marijuana.
Why would I want to smoke marijuana?
On you picked them. You're the one that decided to go on date. There's something you did.
I was just going by they were the single ones. You know, that's all I knew.
You know what? I told my kids, you know, they all pick people for the wrong reasons. They pick them because they're cute or they're hot.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not enough.
That's not enough at all.
Find someone who makes you laugh.
Yeah.
You know, I've been dating the same guy for 29 years.
It helps that they're cute, though.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know about you, but we all don't stay cute.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, you get to a point where you look in the mirror and go, holy crap, how did that happen? Oh, my God. But yeah, no, honestly, if you can't, look, you can't have sex 24 hours a day, even if you're 20. You can't.
I can sure try.
Yeah, okay. I can die.
I'm teasing.
Well, I tell my kids, what do you do with them then? Okay, now you've had sex. Now what are you going to do with the rest of your day?
So Cartman would say, make me a sandwich.
Yeah, and they'll get you slapped.
You need to have things in common.
I'm teasing.
And you need to go out of your way to do this. For example, I'm a scuba diver. My boyfriend was in the ocean as a kid when a tiger shark came in.
Oh, wow.
And he was horrified. I mean, they pulled it out while he was in the water. It was massive. And he decided he was never swimming in the ocean again.
I think it's a good plan.
I dragged him to Australia. Ooh. And I said, I scuba dove as a kid. I haven't been diving in 35 years and I'm going. And he said, I'm not going in the water. Shark's going to get me. And now we've been diving for years and he mastered it. And so now we have that thing that we love to do together. And if you don't have those things and, you know, life's not easy. We've got his mother now. She's got dementia. It's part, you know, it's a thing we're dealing with.
It happens.
But the idea is life isn't going to always be, you're really good looking and so am I. And I mean, that's not enough.
What was that guy from the comedian? He said he went and bought a $75 bottle of scotch and his wife got onto him and says, and he's like, well, what about that makeup in there? It's $75 for a little bitty bottle. She goes, well, that's to help keep me pretty and vibrant so you'll like to look at me. And he goes, oh, hell, scotch does the same thing.
Well, I will say this. When Ryan and I met, I was still in television. And so I had hooker makeup on.
Yes. Back then, yes.
Layered on like with a spatula. And then if you did two shows a day, you had the 5 o'clock news and the 10 o'clock news makeup.
Do it again.
Always. And finally he said, could you please scrape that off? I'm like, and today he doesn't care if I ever wear makeup.
Right.
He doesn't care if I'm always in a t-shirt and shorts. He doesn't care if I get dressed up. He does. And I'm like, my whole life was about what I looked like.
Yeah.
When I was on television. And it's exhausting.
It is.
And so now he's like, if I have just eye pencil on, he goes, why are you wearing makeup?
do you remember when we went from old SD 3x4 TVs to 720? Remember the makeup on some of those news anchors?
Oh my God. And when it was like HD on oh my God.
Yeah, this is awful.
I'm glad I'm not on TV anymore. As a woman, you know, you could do the greatest show in the world. But as my mother said to me one night when I said, Mom, did you see the Sports Center last night? What do you think of the show? I hated your hair.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what about what I said? I wrote a whole show. I delivered it with brilliance. And she hated my hair.
So that's all she knew.
That's why I cut it all off now, because I don't care anymore.
So this is something I've always wanted to ask, and maybe you know the answer to this. I listen to sports, and you know, especially I came with football and the ESPN stuff on the Razorbacks and whatnot, or, you know, and I always look at the female anchors, and I'm always like, how much of it do they really know about the sport? Now, you are very educated and love the sport, but for women now, do you think they just get the spot because they look pretty and could say a couple lines, or do you really think that they're really into the game?
Now, remember, I just taught in college and I had two girls in the class. I have a couple theories. One of the girls was a college lacrosse player, loved sports, and the other one loved sports too. But part of it is the allure of being around athletes.
Oh.
And I will admit to you, I'm the first one in the world to go, I really like men. Okay. They're really cool when they're athletes. And was that part of my idea that I wanted to be a sportscaster? Probably was.
At least you're honest. That's all I can say.
I am. And I liked being in the sports world. But you also have to know the games. Now, people that anchor, that are like SportsCenter anchors, you don't have to know a whole lot.
It's all written for you on the teleprompter.
No. You have to write everything. You write all your own words.
Oh, okay.
No. As a matter of fact, they said that's why they hired me. I'm like, when I said, why did you hire me to be on SportsCenter? They said, because you're a great writer. That's the first time anyone said that to me.
Wow.
When you go around the country and you listen to people anchoring the news, especially sports people.
Sports people's news, true.
Yeah, we write all our own stories.
Yeah, Mitch Roberts always wrote his own stuff. However, the news anchors, Craig Cannon.
That's a little different.
Those guys, they didn't do squat half the day.
Well, that's not really. What happens is that if I did a story, let's say I'm a regular news reporter.
Yeah.
I would have to write my story and I would write the lead in for the anchors. So they would read leading into my piece.
Yeah.
I would give them lead ins and maybe questions for my piece. But in sports, we write all our own stuff.
Well, and all I can speak for is how Hearst does it, because that's who I worked for. That was the overall company. Hearst, they have a producer who writes the whole show, and then the anchor goes through and just kind of tweaks it if they find something they can't say, because not everybody can enunciate certain words, and everybody's got a little affliction every now and again when it comes to words. So they change it, and they kind of get their little cadence going. But some of those anchors, they don't care, and they just said, fine, I'll just read it. And they just get up there and they just read the teleprompter and play casino games on their phone the rest of the day. That's actually how it went.
When you become an anchor, you get a lot more money. So when you're a reporter, you make a certain amount, but people want to be anchors because there's more money in that.
Yeah.
More you're on air, the more people see you and the better chance you have of moving to a larger market.
True.
But back to your original question, I think the women who are in sports do love sports. A lot of the women that are being hired today maybe played a sport, which is as it should be.
Yes.
But they didn't play all sports because they didn't play football. They didn't play ice hockey.
Well, you got time to play everything.
No. So if you don't study the games, that's what I told my students. I never used a textbook to teach before, but they made me use one when I was at ASU. Yeah. It was fabulous because the second half of the book was pick a sport, lacrosse. You could go to the lacrosse page and it would tell you the basics of lacrosse for two pages.
That's cool.
They were like, I know. I said, I wish I had that when I was young. I didn't have the internet. I'll never forget. I was at a station in Rochester, New York. And they said, okay, drive 60 miles and go do a story on a curling team. A curling team?
Yes. Well, they got the flat irons out. You know, is it a flat iron tournament?
No, it's the ice.
I know.
You know curling. And so I had no idea. I drive 60 miles up onto Lake Ontario, and I didn't know what to do the whole way. My brain's going, I know nothing about this sport. What am I going to do? And I walked in and just told them. I said, I am so delighted to be here to do a story on your club, but I know nothing about curling. Help me. And they did.
I actually think curling's pretty fun to watch, believe it or not. I know it sounds boring, but they get the brooms and
and the rock.
Yeah. What's the game that you play at the bars with the sand on the table and you throw it? You throw the little... What is that? They put the sand on the little, it looks like a bowling alley kind of thing, but it's really small. And you got to make sure that your red weighted thing lands just right so you get the best points. And then if somebody lands somewhere.
The only sport I missed. I think.
It's not really a sport. It's more of a drunken bastard trying to do something with impress chicks. But he's not good at doing anything, so this is all he's got kind of thing.
I just always wondered about the girls out there interviewing the football players in these teeny tiny little outfits with lots of makeup.
Why do they have to wear those little outfits? Why can't they? Why do we have to? Why do we still have to sexualize it all? Because
that's what it is.
I hate that.
Why do we even have sideline reporters? It is the most ridiculous job in sports.
Because I hate it.
What are you doing? You're shoving a microphone in the face of a coach who may be down 35 points.
It's
what
true.
Possibly good can come from that. And that is the way major league sports
wearing a mini skirt. No.
All they want to do is say, look, we hire women. I'm like, well, why didn't you put a woman in the booth then? Why didn't you let a woman do play by play or color? Why didn't you give them actual jobs?
Marv Albert said no. Sorry.
I know we shouldn't.
The Andrew doesn't know the story of Marv Albert.
I know the story.
Marv Albert was not a nice guy.
Okay.
Well, all of his kids are sportscasters. It must be genetic.
Yeah, it must be genetic. I hope it's not. What the hell are they doing in the background?
I don't know. But the thing is that, yes, women can understand sports if they study them. I was forced to study them. I was forced to study them or look like a fool on a field.
Right.
I did anyway, no matter how hard I studied. So the rules are complicated. And the fact that I think everyone should have to study the rules. In fact, when I was at ESPN, I suggested that how great it would be to have former professional umpires, referees, as announcers. I said, look, they can explain the rules. They laughed at me. They said, who wants to listen to a referee? Now, every broadcast you watch, let's go to the booth and talk to
former
NFL officials. I said, that was my idea.
What was it? They had a guy that was, all he played was basketball, and he's officiating, or he's doing the booth for ESPN. They did this. I can't remember his name. Damn it. He's a basketball player, and here he's doing color for the freaking football teams.
Like, well, here's
why.
Because here's the deal. It's like officiating. If you can officiate one sport, you can officiate all sports. It's a mindset.
That's true.
Here are the rules. Here's the spirit and intent of the rules. Here's we're controlling a game to keep people safe and to make it fair.
Well, it's kind of like reading a teleprompter. If you can read a teleprompter, that's a skill.
Yeah, it is. It's not easy either.
It's not easy at all.
But when you're doing a broadcast, when you're doing like a color or that, you're not reading a teleprompter.
Nope.
So you have to understand the intricacies of the game. I don't believe you have to be a player to do that, though they promote that a lot now. I see a lot of the older guys are getting shuffled out, all the broadcasters, and they're bringing in young guys, recently retired players, because they don't think young people will watch old guys.
Is Houston Nutt still doing that? Houston Nutt was the old Arkansas coach for a while. He was doing color for ESPN, I think, as well. He's getting paid $10 million a year to do that. It's crazy stupid.
Well, players, I mean, these guys, it used to be that the players say, I'd never be a broadcaster. Now they're making 10 times as much, not getting hit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
all you gotta do is get a microphone and bloviate on your sport.
Just talk shit without getting censored.
The women, many of the women understand that it is a visual medium. My little girl students at ASU were appalled.
I hate it.
Well, no, they said they made you change your hair and your clothes and your earrings. I said, yes, they did. Well, you shouldn't have done that. I said, look, if it's not illegal or immoral, I'm going to do it because they're signing my paycheck.
That's right.
And they're paying for all these new clothes and they're paying for me to have my hair done. Yes, it's a visual medium. Don't get all bent out of shape over it.
Guys go through the same thing. Don't think it's just a woman thing. Guys go through the same thing.
Men have to wear makeup. Men have to get dressed. Except now I've been watching football all week. And all of a sudden, we got guys in T-shirts, and nobody's wearing a tie, and it looks really sloppy to me. But that just means I'm old, and I'm not.
That's the Joe Rogan effect, is what that is. That's
the point is, if they're looking at you, then you should be presentable. Now, I agree. I don't want to bear midriff. I can't get over the stupid women who are wearing sleeveless stuff in December.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that? It's winter. It's cold.
It's cold. Put a coat on.
Yeah. But
I've always found that women that were smart and intellectual and have an opinion, have an opinion. They're the ones that really just rock my world. And just because it's like the anchor at 4029, I won't say her name because she's, I don't know, but she's dumb half the time. And I think it's because she couldn't eat because
she had to stay thin.
She had to stay super thin. She was like almost, and I hate to say, I use this term, so don't get mad at me. She was Auschwitz thin, you know? Well, and
is what is promoted as pretty.
It's not pretty. She was never pretty.
I agree. But it's, you know, when you're on television and your contract, you know, that if I didn't look nice when I was younger, they wouldn't have put me on TV. I understand that.
Yeah.
But it bothered me as I got older going, yeah, but I have all this knowledge and I'm good at what I do. And it doesn't matter anymore because I'm not pretty enough anymore. And I told my students that and they said, that's not fair. I said, life's not fair. It's never going to be fair. Get over it.
Yeah.
That's
true. It's weird because corporate America has become female dominated.
Yes.
It has. Walmart is, what, 80% female? The hospital.
Well,
when it comes to the administration, yeah,
hospitals are different.
Hospitals women, are different.
A woman's job.
It's because I'm a nurse and I've been in healthcare since 01.
You don't have a male in your department.
The problem is male nurses have a hard time, I think, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, getting a start in areas other than ICU, emergency room. They can't work in OB because people will have issues with that. They can't. They can work med surg. I don't know. And I asked when I was in school. I remember we had two male nurses, and they had to be accompanied by the instructor all the time while they were going in and doing the stuff in OB because the dads and other people would get upset that there's another male down there learning how to do various things with OB.
I can see how that works though because I'm probably one of the most masculine men that there is, but I'm tempered by, I have an actual IQ that's above, you know, whatever. I'm not an idiot moron. And I can see how that could bother people. I would be like, yo, if I was 22 years old and some dude's looking at my 22 year old wife's, you know,
private area.
It's medicine.
It's medicine. I agree.
It's still, I get it. I get it. And I agree. But I would have to. Oh.
But see, even that now in medicine,
it's just built in. It's part.
No, but it's medicine.
Yeah,
it's
medicine.
Like women have been going to male doctors.
I would let it happen. I'm not saying I wouldn't let it happen. I'm just saying I understand. I understand it because even thinking about it, I feel that going on.
But I know better. It's become a healthcare of having to protect ourselves, even as nurses and healthcare workers. Like I in the hospital was never allowed to put a Foley catheter in a male without another person in the room or a male nurse. There's not a lot of male nurses. So sometimes we had to make exceptions and have two female nurses in there and make sure the guy was okay with it. And then we could do it.
Sometimes the guys would turn that on you too.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, it's called CYA, cover your ass. I mean, I wish more men would get into nursing. I've met some brilliant, brilliant female and male nurses. One of my most memorable colleagues passed away several years ago in a car accident. He was one of my mentors. Best nurse, hands down. He was kind, compassionate, could run circles around all the other female nurses. I wish more men would jump into that career. Like, I wish more women would jump into being anchors. I think we all just need to probably break the barriers.
It's like engineers.
Well, it's like teaching. It's almost entirely female, and it needs more men. Okay, I went from being around only men all the time between officiating and news, and becoming a teacher where I'm around hundreds of women. It was very strange for me.
That was probably a culture shock, wasn't it?
No, it's the sound. If you go into a meeting with a bunch of men, like there are 100 men and we're having a meeting, and then a meeting with 100 women, it's the sound. It's the high sound of all the women. I know that probably sounds bad that I'm saying this.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Like their voices make them stop.
Well, so there's just some things that are, you know, we're all human. We're all built. I mean, the differences between men and women are very minuscule, but the ones that where we are different are chasms in many cases.
Well, because men are so simple. Okay. They really are. I love the fact that guys can get in a fight, punch each other out, and then go have a beer.
Yes.
Women will hate each other for 30 years.
Yes.
That's true. And I don't understand that.
I don't either.
It's psychology 101. Negative emotions are felt more by women than by men. And men, once they duke it out, then they gain respect for each other and they're able to move on. And women, their fighting is done. Women's fighting is done through reputation destruction. Right?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, we have to admit it. It's reputation destruction. But if a man wants to settle something with another man, he walks up to him and he punches him in the face with a 2x4. And that's just the way it works.
Well, but they are simpler. No offense, but you guys are easy to deal with. I'm much happier around in a room full of men. Well, maybe that's just because I spent my life to be that way.
I think part of it, too,
easier
is
easier to deal with. I don't know.
Part of it, too, though, is when it comes to men, we put everything out there right now. There's no hiding. I'm not going to wait till you go home and then call your buddy and say, can you believe he did this? You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to walk up to you and I'm going to say, look, you piece of shit. Why'd you do this? And we handle it right now.
Yeah.
And that makes it simpler to deal with.
Women are not that way. I agree.
No. It's just who we are. It's how we are, what we are. And it's like the thing with the guy looking at my 22-year-old wife's, and I'm 22 years old, you know.
He's a doctor. You're not.
Yeah, but yeah. It's the same thing. It's just built in. It's
but women
just,
for years went to male doctors, and we didn't have a choice because they didn't let women do doctors.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not arguing with you at all. I'm just saying that it's in our Neanderthal DNA that's still left over.
I'm not going to argue.
Just from a man's point of view, I mean, it's, but men know better, so they let it happen, they go on, but there's still that twinge sometimes left over in the background.
I think it's pretty amazing what you've done in your career in life to kind of pave the way for females.
Thank you.
In a time and era where it was not a thing. Amazing. I think it's pretty amazing. And
kudos to you, man.
Yeah, kudos. I mean, it's definitely a story that I want to share with my kids. They're not big into sports, but, you know, they're, I have two females and I have two boys, two girls. And it's a different time, a different era, but I try to tell them, you know, when I was your age, things are a hell of a lot different than they were now. But even this story of you, you've paved the way. I think it's very impressive.
Yeah. No, you can put up with it.
I didn't have, you know, people say that to me sometimes and I look back and go, I don't know. I was just trying to do something.
Yeah.
Just trying to be a sportscaster. For me, the irony is that once I became a sportscaster, I never quit officiating. It became part of me. And that if you had told me all those years ago, I would have still been officiating just a few years ago. I would have said you were crazy. So it just sort of happened, but it's mostly because I'm stubborn. You know, if you tell me, excuse me, my cat is trying to take down my thing.
Yeah.
If you tell me that I can't do something, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Well, you're in a trifecta right now because that's Andrea and I as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We're that way.
You can't tell us that we can't do something. If we tell us we can't do something, we're going to do it twice as good as you ever thought we could.
That's a gift. Don't you see that they give us a gift when they do that?
People hate that though. They're like, you're so terrible, Paul. You do all this stuff. And I was like, no, you're full of shit and I'm going to do what I want.
Well, but here's the thing that bothers me with young people today. This makes me sound old. I worked very, very hard and kept getting back up when I got knocked down, which was frequent. But I can't tell you how often I had students who seem to think they can be anything. And that's a lie teachers tell kids.
Thank you very much.
Anything. I have been vindicated.
He says that all the time to me.
That is the biggest goddamn lie. The biggest goddamn lie that's been told to kids for 40 fucking years.
No,
you can be anything you fucking want. It is not true. It is not true.
Here's the example I give. Shaquille O'Neal cannot be a thoroughbred racehorse jockey. He can't.
That's true.
He'll kill the horse.
If you're blind, with our technology right now, you are not going to be a fighter jet pilot. You're not.
Correct.
And they would get my students would get very upset. You can't say that. We can be anything. I said,
no.
True. However, they also believe you can be something without trying very hard.
That's true. I agree with that.
That's what happens when you tell somebody they can be whatever they want. They think, oh, well, I don't have to try. I'm just going to be what I want.
I would sit with every single student every year and say, let's look at your life 10 years from now. What do you want it to look like? How can I help you get there? Let's make a plan. And they'd say, I want to be an NFL quarterback. I went, great. Do you play for our team here at school? No. You play for a club team? No. Well, where do you play?
Have you touched a football? No.
They believe that they're going to be an NFL quarterback without ever putting in any sweat or teamwork or studying the game. And this is what bothers me because I busted my butt to learn games.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to look like an idiot. Okay, I can do that all by myself without, you know, if I don't try. But there's a lot of not trying going on, and that bugs the hell out of me.
I don't understand why people even thought that. I mean, I really think, and this is going to be controversial, and you'll probably disagree with it, and it's okay that you do. I think we've turned, we're not living in a patriarchal society anymore. It's more of a matriarchal society.
Because, you say that like it's a bad thing.
Well, but we don't need either one. It
well,
needs to be
in a patriarchal society for the last 2,000 years.
I agree with that.
In most cultures, not yes. all cultures.
Well, until the last 70 years.
Look where it got us. I think if women ruled, we wouldn't even have wars because we'd have a day of war and we'd go, I need a shower, right? We'd end the war nor would we want to send our husbands, our children, our children, our fathers, our cousins. We wouldn't want to send
I don't
them.
Know. There's Why? There's women out there that'd be like, fuck all you motherfuckers. I'm going to send the army. I've met women like that.
I think it all has to do with this whole thing of let's give everybody a trophy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That drives me out of my mind. You played soccer. You didn't win anything. Go home. Here's a lollipop. Go home. I agree. That is ruining everything.
Yeah. They did that in my daughter's gymnastics. And I got really, really, really kind of irritated when it went to the coach. And I'm like, okay. I was like, she didn't win first, second, or third. Why is she coming back with a medal? Well, she worked for participation. I said, yeah, I get it, but no. And I handed it back to her. And the coach got really angry. She's like, well, we give everybody these. I said, not my kid. I go, she doesn't get a medal just because she showed up. I said, she has to know that she has to work to get that. And I got talked to and...
You get called into the office more than your kids do.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, and everybody was like, oh, Emily was all embarrassed. And she was like, mommy embarrassed me. And I said, no. I said, if you want to stand up there and get first, second, or third, you're going to have to earn it. I said, we all have to earn our place. And the next year she was second place. But it was, I don't know. I'm the weird parent.
But the problem today now is that these kids are now in their 20s that all got a trophy.
Yeah.
That nobody wanted to hurt. If you even say a word about and that might hurt a kid's feelings, I'm in the principal's office. And my attitude is, you know, in my school, they stopped having honor roll because the kids who didn't make the honor roll might feel bad that they didn't make the honor roll.
Jeez.
I was appalled.
Oh my gosh.
They're afraid. I had a journalism class, so my kids produced the school newspaper.
Yeah.
And I had kids, some of the same kids for 4 years. I got to know my students really well. And being the editor of the paper was prestigious and a lot of responsibility. I ran that class like a newsroom.
Nice.
And so my bosses came into me one day to find out how I was running the newspaper. Very good. And who is your editor? And I said, oh, she's a senior and great kid. Well, who else is an editor? Just her. We have one. Well, that's not right, Miss Montgomery. Everybody should get to be the editor. And I'm thinking, and every kid should get to play quarterback on the team? Go tell the coach that.
Right.
Their attitude, I said, that kid earned the right to be the editor.
Yeah.
Every kid is not qualified to be the editor. It's like every kid can't be the lead in the play. Okay.
It's true.
And they're so afraid the kids are going to get their feelings hurt. We need to get our feelings hurt. When
somebody
we're
has to play the tree or you're just not going to have a tree.
Well, you know what? I failed. I sing and I didn't make the All-State Choir when I was a kid. My parents were like, meh, get over it. You know, you'll be fine.
Right. Right.
There was no, let's go yell at those people that didn't think you were good enough.
However, I must interject this one small fact. The people we're complaining about, Gen Xers, are generally the people who raised them.
This is the problem.
So
they don't want to let their kids grow up. They want to organize everything that they do for every
Sounds
moment.
Like someone we know, doesn't it?
What do you mean?
Sounds like somebody who wants to organize everything they do.
Oh, yeah. I know you're talking about now.
Yeah.
I was like, if you're going to say it's me, I'm going to reach across the desk.
Oh, no,
and
you don't.
You.
You're like, hey, did you lose a limb today? No. Good. See you tomorrow.
The problem is that. I don't know how old you guys are. I'm 67.
I'm 45.
I'm 597 years old.
When I was a kid, you went outside and you played in the neighborhood. There were no parents to organize that play.
I drank from the hose.
Me too.
Of course we did.
And we encouraged our friends to pee on the electric fence.
Yeah.
We did not
all day. Right?
Yeah.
Ryan and I walked around the block today, saw a little kid on a bicycle. And I said, oh, God, when I got my first bicycle when I was like 8, I got on and I'd be gone all day. My parents didn't even pay attention.
Right.
Just be back for dinner.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
every moment of a kid's life is organized and they have uniforms and there's always adults there to make sure no one's bullied. And, yeah. and I'm not saying anyone should be bullied, but kids need to learn to handle these things. Yeah. themselves. We are socially stunting our children.
Well, and it's just like our news, though. Our news is the exact same thing. We're socially stunting our adults by not doing the news. We're doing the same thing. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to. We want to make sure that there's no one that's misrepresented or anything like that. It's like, no, this is the damn news. This guy shot people because he's an asshole. You know, it's not because he thought of this person or thought of that person. He shot people because he's an asshole. And he's psychologically.
And because anybody can have a weapon in our country. Anybody. Doesn't matter who you can have 100 weapons. Nobody cares.
They do the same. I mean, the murder rate's pretty much the same in Europe, too. So, I mean.
No, it's not. Not even close. Not even close. Go to England. There are almost no handgun murders.
Oh, no, no. There's no handgun murders, but there's twice as many stabbings in England as in the United States.
No, there are not. Where do you get your news? Fox News?
No.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. We have to Google it. I don't want to get in a fight or anything like that.
Oh, come on. I'm going to get my flag out. I'll flag you when you do. It's not here. It's
never. I just want people to look at the news and realize that they're getting someone's opinion 90% of the time. And that's unfortunately the way it is.
I don't agree necessarily, unless you're looking at the comments. Again, I'm going to go back to the fact that we have unfortunately smashed commentary and news into what people call the news.
Correct.
That's not news. They should be separate entities.
Right.
It's like you can watch football or baseball. Two different things. They're sports, but two entirely different things. Commentary and news are different, and they need to be separated and labeled as such.
Yes. And find the facts. Just go find the facts. And my biggest thing, too, is we let our emotions drive our arguments sometimes. And
that's
then,
just being human.
Well, then when we do exactly. that, though, our egos get in the way and don't allow us to be wrong. Right? And that's the issue.
I can be wrong now, and I admit it. Yeah. I mean, if I find out I have said something that is not factual or led someone the wrong way, I apologize. I go to them and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake there.
And we all make mistakes. It's called being human.
Hmm. And we shouldn't do it on the news.
We shouldn't do it on the news. In a conversation like this, it's different. This is not news. This is us having a conversation about things that happen. But if you're watching somebody that's supposed to be the modern day Walter Cronkite, but instead they're giving you a bunch of fluff or they're giving you their opinion.
Half the kids get their nudes off TikTok.
That's true. Heartbreaking.
I know.
It's just, or Twitter, or where nobody checks anything. My thing is just check your sources. Where did it come from? Why would they be biased? Look at it, you know, with a healthy dose of skepticism.
Well, it was like the deal we were talking about earlier that we never got into on the program here with the Trump thing, because we didn't really go deep. So I explained it before the show, so we didn't really get into it. And I remember this, that I was going to do it, and I got sidetracked. They would send me footage from the AP, and it's only one or two dudes filming the stuff in the White House.
I mean, it makes sense. You can't let everybody in there.
Well, yeah, and they assign people to follow these presidential candidates around, and they would send the footage in, and I'd get it off of CNN because that's the place we used, was CNN or the AP, and it's the same footage because I noticed I was getting the same footage from AP as I was from CNN, so it's the same damn thing, and Trump's giant orange man, and I'm like, but because I'm a filmmaker. And I've done coloring. I'm a professional colorist to an extent. I recognized that the white wasn't white. And I recognized, because there's white cards everywhere on stuff like this. So I white balanced off the white card, and Trump was no longer orange. They sent it in to make him orange. But he was never orange.
Of all things to care about, who cares if his hair? My thing is, there's so many other things he did that are more newsworthy.
Oh, I agree
about his hair. Who cares?
But it's a really good template to show that you, because there was a whole Twitter war over him being orange, and they still, you watch the late night comedians, oh, orange man and stuff like that. But the fact is that he was never orange, and that right there should tell you that you can't. You have to fact check everything.
Story that matters. It, you know, that's not even an important thing.
I just use it as a bellwether to show you if they did that, what else could they do?
Yeah, you use that example with me to help me kind of think, oh, okay. And if you use that example with my kids and make them go, oh, really? And make them go a little bit deeper into what they're being told.
I want you to find out on your own what's true. Because when I tell you, if you think I'm full of crap, then it's never going to land. But if you know that, oh, wait, if that's not true, what else isn't true? And that kind of gives us, do your own research. I don't want to be the one telling you.
But most people won't.
Yeah.
Most people, if they hear something that they agree with, won't go any further. They'll just go, yes, that's true, because right. I believe it. And it doesn't matter how many statistics you give them, or if they don't understand facts, because they don't want to. They want to believe that Trump was the second coming, so they will.
They wanted to believe that Hillary was the perfect person. It doesn't matter. Neither one of them have your specific interests in mind. They have their own interests in mind and the people that they
report
to.
I think the thing about Trump, though, is he lied about so many things so frequently that it became like the media loved him, because the things he did were so absurd and so he lied constantly that they made him into what he is. If they had just ignored all the bullshit he came up with,
well,
he wouldn't even be that famous.
There's a thing that I have problems with. I have troubles talking to my buddy Donald. It takes about a month for my buddy Donald and I to be able to speak to each other where he's no longer offended by something that I say. My brother's the same way. It's very difficult for me to talk to my brother. I have a particular way of talking that pisses people off, and I have the ability to understand people who talk differently. So while some of the things they were calling him lies, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying some of the things they were calling him lies over, I'm like, he was just bullshitting, and he wasn't passing that off as a lie, but whatever.
Doing that.
He
doesn't care about truth is the problem. He really, he just makes crap up.
There's a bunch of stuff that Hillary said and Biden said.
It's
and
irrelevant.
Ted Cruz said. I mean, they all do it, is my point. Everyone does it.
Oh, yeah. The lovely Republican guy from New York. What's his name?
I don't know him.
He's supposed to be Jewish and gay and
no idea.
Yes, come on. They just sent their,
I don't pay attention anymore because it's all a bunch of bullshit.
From New York. Santos, George Santos.
Oh, that guy. Whatever. He's got to be a Democrat in disguise. I mean, no. I don't know. I'm teasing. I'm screwing with you.
He went to two universities.
I'm messing with you.
Goldman Sachs. He didn't. He said his grandmother was Jewish and survived the Holocaust. Complete lie.
Yeah. That's everybody who's in politics.
No, everybody doesn't.
I don't know. There might be one or two, but I don't know. I just can't. I can't buy it.
Donald Trump made lying okay. Mainstream, feel free to lie.
A lot of them were making it okay beforehand. You can go back to Johnson, and you go all the way back to Woodrow Wilson, and you can go all the way back to...
Not like Trump did.
Ulysses? Look, oh, my God. Ulysses lied like crazy.
I'm going to give you a diagnosis. You ready? Trump has learning disabilities. He can't read. He says he never reads. And as a teacher who's seen thousands of children with issues, I'm telling you, the man has learning disabilities. He also was raised by a drunken father who was abusive.
But it's
lied about everything.
It doesn't matter what I'm saying is that you can't don't trust what you see on TV or what you read. Find your own facts out. That's all I really want people to do.
But I want them to do it honestly and not just do it so they can find, because I can go online and find anything I agree with.
Right.
It doesn't make it true.
Correct.
So you have to be willing to say, I am willing to be proved wrong.
I told the people who supported Obama, I said, or who were upset against Obama, they said, oh, that Obama's going to do this. I'm like, no, Obama is going to do what he thinks is the best thing, what he feels is right. You don't agree with it, but he's not trying to burn the country down. He's not trying to put you in jail. He's not trying to put a surveillance state on you and all this other crap. I mean, the same things that I say that I've been saying here in the past 10 minutes, I said to the Obama haters when he got elected, find out for yourself. Don't just let somebody run with you.
And be open to change. Change your opinions. And many people are not. And the older people get, the less likely they want to change their opinions. I am working very hard. My boyfriend and I are completely opposite politically, religiously. We're told how we even get along, I have no idea. But we do try to understand the other point of view.
Yeah.
And I think more people need to do that.
Yeah. And just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean they're evil.
No.
Just like I was telling them, just because Trump says this or just because Obama did that doesn't mean that they're evil people. They're doing what they think is right. Whether you think it's right is another story. But that's what they think is right. And it doesn't matter. You have to understand most of the people have good intentions. They just go about it in a way that not everybody agrees with. And that's kind of where it is, unfortunately. And, you know, sometimes we speak different languages than each other. And have patience with somebody who you like, what the fuck are you talking
exactly.
about?
Exactly. And nobody has patience anymore.
Yeah.
That's true.
But so I guess that's, I say your books can be found where again?
Pretty much anywhere books are sold. But you can also go to my website, AnnMontgomeryWriter.com. And again, that's Ann with an E.
Cool. And Andrew, any more questions?
No. Who we got coming up?
Oh my God! You wrote it down.
Yeah, we have.
I've got to look.
Jedi Faith coming up.
Oh yeah. So I don't know how much I want to go into that, but boy, it's going to be interesting. We have some actual people who are in the Jedi Faith. They've been doing it for a while, and Jedi Faith is actually a real thing. I mean, what?
We have some unanswered curious questions to ask them. So,
and they're going to go over what the Jedi Faith is, and I'm like, I actually know a little bit more about that. I actually know a little bit more about this, but I had a long conversation with these folks, and I told them, says, don't preload me. I don't want to know details. We're going to ask you the questions live, right?
Yeah.
And we'll deal with it there. It's actually a religion, and that's going to be our first time with two guests on at the same time. We're going to have two people along with Andrea and I.
And we have someone that's going to come on that we're going to talk about everything alcohol, how it's made, and prohibition, hopefully.
And hopefully we can drink some while we're doing that.
I'm a gluten-free man.
About cocktail hour here.
I miss beer. I can't have it since I've got gluten sensitivity now. So maybe we can find it. It's a bummer.
Captain Morgan Private Stock Dark Rum.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
She can drink most alcohol that's not beer or lager or something like whatever, because it's not made. You know, they distill it like 6-7 times, so there's nothing in it but the pure grain alcohol that's left.
But a nice Guinness every now and then is something would be nice to have. But
I can't do anything about it.
I know the side effects of having gluten sensitivity outweigh actually having the alcohol. So yeah. I suck it up.
And then we just booked a man who's trying to become a comedian. He's working really, really hard at it.
Yes.
And we're going to learn what the life is behind being a comedian, because as you heard our guest say, it's a hard fucking gig. It's very difficult. And if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, you're banned for life. Bill Burr, he is a comedian. People hate him, but guess what? He still fills stadiums. That doesn't happen to somebody who no one knows.
That's true.
You just get banned.
Yeah, I think being a comedian right now is very difficult. Extremely. Because everybody takes every joke personally.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you're paying to go see a Bill Burr, then you need to understand, or Dave Chappelle, you need to understand that they may say something that you take personally. Don't go then.
Or just, like listening to this podcast, I may say something as well.
Then don't listen. You can turn it off.
Yeah, just turn it off. Go to the next one.
Don't like that book? Don't read it. Don't tell everyone else they can't read the book.
Exactly.
You don't like that movie? You don't like that actor who did something to somebody? Don't watch.
Well, Kevin Spacey, I really say that probably should ban that dude.
Well, but that to me, just don't watch his stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody will put him on a show.
I'll never hire him.
No.
Well, no, I would hire him because, you know, I'm a no-name nobody, and he's Kevin Spacey. I'd put him in the movie just to get negative publicity because then at least I got something done and I can get the next movie.
Oh, my gosh, stop.
It's the way it works in the movie business.
I know.
It sucks, but that's the way it is. Worse, it's... Do you think the news business is bad? Get to the movie business. It's 10 times worse. Why do you think Weinstein was able to ride for 25 years while he's masturbating in front of women underneath the stairs?
Money and power.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We have someone coming about music therapy.
Music therapy? Yes, I like music therapy. And I also like alcohol and music therapy. You do both together. It's really good.
Well, let's have the alcohol lady, music therapy lady together.
No.
And we're having somebody talk about chronic pain, which is kind of an interest of mine since I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis.
He's got a whole different way of looking at it.
That's my illness of, yeah. That's every day.
He's got a whole different way of looking at it, and it remains to be seen. We're going to have to keep an open mind, listen to what he has to say, and hopefully he's got the research to back it up.
Yes, and I can't think of anybody else we've got scheduled, but those are the ones I have written down.
Yeah, I think that's it. But we're booked out to the end of January.
Yay!
And then I'm going to have to start working on some more bookings.
I'm going to be working on one. I saw a flyer about a true crime thing that I would like to kind of talk.
What was the girl's name?
I have to look it up. I don't want to say it on air either until I get things confirmed. But the flyer kind of spoke to me because she's
the flyer in a pilot.
Yes, on Interstate 44.
More than a flyer, it was a movie poster paid for by the government.
It's just something about the girl's age and the situation that happened to her kind of moved me because she was 2 years older than my oldest son and the highway department. I mean, I want to see if maybe we can get them on as guests so they can talk about the cold case.
Well,
maybe.
I want to get a hold of the people that have the new... my words are escaping me right now. But they have put together a committee or...
A task force.
Task force. That's what I'm looking for. A task force to look at the highway murders and put them all together. I don't know why this took so long for them to do that, but they've just done it in the past 2 or 3 years. There could be serial killers crossing our highways, killing people left and right, and because the police department's really... I mean, what are you going to do? You know,
it's
you got
to
put them together.
Yeah.
Random victims are the hardest case to solve.
And if I could sweet talk my uncle, who's a former truck driver.
I can get some truck drivers in here to talk to you. I don't want to get truck drivers in here to talk to you because they might be like, hey, Andrea, how's it going? Then I'm going to have to whoop some ass.
That's my uncle.
I'm not worried about your uncle. I'm worried about the ones I know.
I just got some questions on, like, you know, have you seen any shady, weird stuff as truck drivers? I mean, he did it cross country for years. But like I said, if he's listening to this, he's probably like, you haven't spoken to me yet. Well, I'll be calling you.
Yeah. Well, no, this is 2 weeks out, so.
Like I said.
Because this is after tax lady, remember?
Oh, yeah. We learned all, you guys got all about the IRS.
Yeah, go back and listen to the last episode. She knows everything about the IRS. Oh, my God. That was crazy. Yep. Anyway, so I guess that's it.
I think so. Okay.
So, and Andrea, as everybody needs to know, she got all of the nutcrackers she needed.
The Nutcracker Fund.
Nutcracker Fund. Nobody. And I'm kind of offended because no one contributed to the vodka fund for me. They gave all the nutcrackers to Andrea, but I got no vodka out of it. I had to buy my own. What is that about?
He needs vodka.
He's a better promoter than you are.
I think it's because she's prettier than me.
Oh, well.
I think he needs vodka just to deal with the nutcrackers I got.
Nutcrackers?
Yes. It's awesome. Is that it?
I guess. Is that it?
I think so. Bye.
Bye.
Andrea and I need your help. If you like our episodes, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. Not sure exactly how that helps us, but it does, and it makes people want to listen. When they see that 5 stars and a good review from you, so go to wherever you're listening to your podcast, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartMedia, wherever, and hit that 5 stars.